across Wisconsin from Civic Media. This is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlow.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. It is 6:06 on this Tuesday morning, April 9th, 2024, and it's another beautiful day to have you here up north. Live from Lake Wissota, from wherever you're listening, across the Civic Media Radio Network, through the app, social media, podcast. Nice to have you here. I got a question for you. Was the eclipse a big deal for you? Did you come away unhappy because of cloud cover? Did you get to see it? And you know, it was amazing. Did you watch the TV coverage of it and either felt like you were part of it all or that you thought it was overkill? How are you feeling about it all the next day? You can chime in anytime and let us know at 855-75-CIVIC. That's the phone number here. Call or text us anytime, 855-75-CIVIC. Be nice to have you here. Coming up on the program today, we're going to hear some comments from Senate candidate Eric Hovde. It's something he said once before last week when we played a snippet of audio from him. And he said, again, in a radio interview, you know, people in nursing homes, well, I mean, they're going to die soon. So, I mean, do they really need to vote is, you know, essentially what he was getting at here. We'll also hear what President Biden had to say when he was in Madison about his latest moves to reduce the nation's mountain of student loan debt. Then in our second hour, we had a recent sit down, a one-on-one with Senator Tammy Baldwin about, you know, her reasons for running for a third term. But then we also got into, you know, some personal and background questions about, you know, what life is like for a U.S. senator. And so we'll have that interview coming up at 7:30 this morning. Tomorrow on the program, we're going to have Congressman Mark Pocan joining us. And we are also going to be joined by D.C. police officer Michael Fanone. He was on the U.S. Capitol grounds on January 6th. He was not part of the Capitol Police. He was part of the D.C. Police. He was on the grounds. He was dragged into the crowd and beaten within an inch of his life. And he's now going around the country along with some of the other officers attacked and injured that day, speaking out about how everybody else needs to speak out against political violence, and more specifically, the violent rhetoric that can lead to political violence. And I know that that's kind of a gray area with people saying, well, we don't want to censor people's free speech if they use, you know, some wild expressions. They don't really mean it to be violent. That's not the world we're in right now. And folks engaged in violent rhetoric through their social media posts or their words, they really need to take it down a notch, or we're going to see a repeat of instances like what we saw on that January day just over 3 years ago. So that and more coming up. Brittany Merlot's forecast. Chad Holmes talks about his program on Bull Falls Radio in Wausau. First, let's check temperatures around the state pretty much where they were this time yesterday. It's 43 up here on Lake Wissota. Hayward comes in at 41. Park Falls, 40. Wausau is at 43 degrees right now. Green Bay, 41. La Crosse, 44. Wisconsin Rapids, 43. Oshkosh, 39. Madison's at 46 degrees. And it's 45 degrees in Waukesha, near the studios of WAUK, the Shaw, where we find one Gregory James Bach prepared to funnel this show through the airwaves and into your ears. Mr. Bach, good morning, and what is your middle name?
Wow. It's Steven.
Ah, I missed it.
And I was gonna be like, Pat, it's 45 degrees, but it's feeling more like
oh God.
I love how much you hate this. All right.
I love how much you're willing to just twist that knife year round. That's
because I'm always willing to listen to the song.
I love passive aggressive. I salute it. I am not you just keep that handy. You never know when I need to be reined in.
You know, I am not like most Midwesterners. I am not passive aggressive. I am aggressive aggressive. No, I'm doing well. My middle name is Steven. That was my grandfather's name.
Mm-hmm.
And that's me, Gregory Steven Bach.
And you had your box of glasses.
I did.
I saw on the face page that you and some of your Waukesha colleagues were out there staring into the sun yesterday.
Yes, we were all separated by that point, but I was driving around when I missed the apex of the eclipse, like the perfect moment, whatever that it may be. It was like, it was like 206, 208. But when I finally got out of the car, it was like 218. There was still plenty of eclipse to see. And I love that like weird, shadowy over everything feeling. It's just very, I don't know how to describe it, but you know, you were there yesterday. You saw it, that weird feeling of like, this doesn't like feel correct.
I remember getting that sensation in 2017.
Yeah.
But up here, it was so overcast that it really was a non-event here.
I mean,
I can't even say that it got noticeably darker. You'd have to be paying attention to say, it's a little, you know, it's a little closer to dark rather than gray, but it was a pretty gray day up here. So instead I had, you know, the cable channels on the TV over here. And it was, you know how on New Year's Eve, sometimes they go from time zone to time zone to time zone, marking midnight? Well, that was kind of the deal here. They'd go from town to town to town. And once you had that total eclipse, you know, the people would be screaming, there'd be cowbells and hooting and hollering and everything else. And I'm just like you're braying at the moon or something like this. I mean, literally. I mean, I get that it was kind of festive, but the TV people were all the same. At each stop, they're like, oh, this is just life-changing. I'm so glad I got to be here to be a part of this. And I'm like, relax. We've known for 200 years that this was happening today at this time. We know when they're all happening. It's cool when they come, but let's stop making it, you know, into something biblical.
I don't disagree with that. I saw on Instagram, follow me on Instagram, I am Greg Bach. I saw like my friends having cookouts and parties, and I think that's an excuse to get with your friends, and that's fine. Hang out with your friends, use any reason you can. But yeah, like I probably looked at the eclipse with the glasses for 45 seconds and I was like, that's cool. It was for me, it's always about like just the landscape looks like in an eclipse. That's what's cool to me. I'm like, it's aliens are coming.
I'm like you. I think it is very cool. I guess I treat it the way that I treat shopping for clothes. Because poor Sherry had to learn right away that, you know, when she would be clothes shopping, it takes a while and I'm waiting as she tries this and tries that and everything. When a guy needs clothes, they walk in. Especially when you're, say, buying jeans, because you know your waist, you know your length. So you go to the box there, like, okay, you know, here's my 38 by 30. Yep, got it. And that shirt, that looks nice, got it. And the same with the eclipse, like, okay, noted, off we go. So maybe I'm not going to say it's an ADHD thing, because I'm not trying to insult anybody with the actual, you know, diagnosis, but that's, you know. I didn't feel like dwelling on it like a day-long thing like some folks were.
It's not your jam.
It's not my jam.
There you
my
go.
Jam. My jam's a good baseball game. There the Brewers go. Were down 8-0 last night.
I couldn't watch the game. I still haven't pulled the trigger on a certain network that costs money that rhymes with Schmally Sports. but I wish I was watching that game. I really wish I was watching that game.
Down 8-0, the Brewers clawed their way back to like 8-6, 8-7. In the end, they lost 10-8 and included an inside the park home run by one of the Cincinnati players. The Brewers had like four errors in the game, but it was exciting because again, you know, the ups and downs of what's happening. So, you know, we all have our favorite thing. One way or the other. College basketball, the NCAAs finally wrapped up yesterday with UConn handily beating Purdue. I feel like I'm guessing pretty well that you didn't catch any of the game last night, because I know I was in bed by the time it started.
No, I just you know, for our listeners, you know, I really feel like I let them down sometimes. And this is between this show and Matt and Aaron here. I really feel like I let them down when it comes to my just disinterest in basketball. Like, I want people to be like, oh my gosh, did you see the action on the court, Pat, when that one player threw the ball to the other player and the shoe went squeaky squeak and hoop hoop and went through the swishies.
That's just not you.
No. But hey, congratulations to UConn and congratulations to Purdue. The Boiler, you're I know you wanted first, but you got second. That's pretty cool too.
It was a great ride for them, just as it was for Iowa, for the women.
Yes.
Even though they ended up losing to South Carolina. Great seasons by all, and not a bad tournament by any stretch.
No.
And again, for basketball, I'm not likely to watch regular season games, college or pros. I'll get a little bit more excited, you know, when the Bucks get into the playoffs, and, you know, then there's elimination at stake. Well, they're going to get in the playoffs.
Right.
There's only four regular season games left, something like that. So they can't possibly fall out of the top eight, right?
Really? I mean, 10. I don't know. I mean, come on, man. I don't know much about basketball, but I know they suck right now.
Four losses in a row, and they take on the Boston Celtics tonight. I believe they host the game, he said, scrolling rapidly. Yeah, they host the Celtics tonight. And then they host Orlando tomorrow, and then that's it for the regular season at home. They're at Oklahoma City Friday night. They're at Orlando Sunday afternoon. And then the playoffs get underway. So, yeah, the Bucks have a chance to get back on track against the team they're behind in the Eastern Conference, not just a little bit. They're like 12, 13 games behind Boston. So, yeah, it'll be a moral victory, if anything, if they pull that off tonight. The Brewers, as I mentioned, losing 10-8. Aaron Ashby made his first start after almost 2 years, but with three errors committed by the Brewers behind him, he went 3 2/3 innings, 5 hits, 8 runs, 5 of them earned on 82 pitches. And it was Ellie De La Cruz who hit 2 homers in the game. The first was a 450-foot bomb to center. And then the second one, the inside the park homer, came when Sal Frelick tried to dive for a ball in center field. Came up just a little bit short,
which means the ball goes
all the way to the wall. And De La Cruz was on his horse and had that thrilling inside the park home run. So game two of the series is coming up this evening. Joe Ross will make his second start on the season for the Brewers. You can catch the game starting at 5:05 on News from the Center in Richland Center, WRJN in Racine, Oshkosh Air Support, and 98Q Country in Park Falls. That Bucks game tonight, by the way, you can catch that on locally grown radio in Wisconsin Rapids and Lake Air in Amory. All right, Eric Hovde said what about nursing home patients and voting? Tell you more in just a bit, wherever you're listening across Wisconsin on this Tuesday morning. When you're here, you're up north, live from Lake Wissota on the Civic Media Radio Network. Now let's visit with Sherita Booker, social media manager for Up North News. Visits with us every time of the week about this time to talk about stories that are getting a lot of play, a lot of engagement, a lot of clicks, as the kids like to say. Sherita, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Pat. Good. How are you?
Very good, thanks. Because I just have to balance this one radio show, and you have to balance what feels like 95 different social media platforms. But you do it very well, and you get the stories on there, and people respond to them. Some are serious, some are not so serious. We'll start with the serious one first. A lot of engagement for a post that shows Governor Tony Evers putting his veto on a bill. Tell us more about that.
Yep. So Governor Evers rejected the anti-LGBTQ legislation proposed by Republicans, which was to prohibit transgender and non-gender conforming youth from joining sports teams based on their gender identity. That post had almost 1,500 likes and over 250 comments. Nancy said, "This is why we love Wisconsin and our superhero governor. Thanks." Julie said, "A progressive governor who's not afraid to stick up for what he and the rest of us who are keeping up with the times and researching things we may not understand, so we no longer remain ignorant. I will continue to vote for him as he improves the quality of life in Wisconsin." That was some really good comments, but honestly, they all were not that supportive.
Oh, no, not at all with something like this. But again, when that happens, people can choose whether to have a civil discussion or not, but they also can't deny that this is a governor who has made clear where his values are, where his heart is, and has clearly collected a lot of support for vetoing this bill that would lead to legalized discrimination against the trans community. Let's turn to some lighter fare now, and Always get a good response to some of our, you know, whether it's a fill in the blank or a did you know. Here's a did you know all about Laura Ingalls Wilder. Those of us of a certain age who remember watching Little House on the Prairie all the time. What was that post about?
Yeah, so if you didn't know, now you know. Laura Ingalls Wilder is from Wisconsin. She wrote the Little House on the Prairie children's books, which was turned into a TV show. She was born in 1867 in Pepin, but her family moved away, eventually returning back to Pepin, Wisconsin, where she spent the rest of her childhood. There's also a museum dedicated to her in Pepin if you ever wanted to go get any more details about her life. That post had tons of comments, likes, and shares. Debbie said, I saw her house in the Big Woods in Pepin. Dave said, first book, Little House in the Big Woods, was set in Wisconsin.
That's great because, again, we're now at an age where, well, first people read the books, and then there was the long-running TV series, and of course now that's not on anymore, so people are back to knowing who she is through the books. Clearly there's still an interest as people look back at those, you know, pioneer days here in Wisconsin and find that there is that Wisconsin connection to these books and things. There's a lot we love about Wisconsin, and that includes not just, you know, some of the people and the stories, but of course the natural resources. And you can't talk about natural resources up north without talking about lakes. And apparently you put up a post about lakes and that got some play.
Yeah. So Wisconsin is home to 15,000 lakes. And one of the cleanest ones is Black Oak Lake in Vilas County. So some fun facts about that is it's one of Wisconsin's deepest lakes. It's great for fishing. And although it's called Black Oak Lake, black oaks do not grow that far north. The name came from early settlers who weren't aware of that. But that post had more than 2,000 likes. And Dawn said, now everyone knows about it. Eye roll emoji. And Nancy said, I'm one of the lucky ones to call this lake home. Grateful every day that my grandparents built these cabins almost 100 years ago. And then those comments also turned into a great debate about how many acres are actually considered a lake.
I am totally familiar with that, having been born and raised in Minnesota, then marrying a good Wisconsin farm girl and getting into that back and forth about Minnesota lakes, which, you know, the joke goes, you know, after a rainstorm, you know, if you just look out the downspout out the corner of your house and that puddle would count as a lake in Minnesota. May not necessarily be to that point, but there are a lot of tiny lakes in that state. So it's good to hear about one of the big ones up in Vilas County that folks can visit, or any of our 15,000 next to the land of so-called 10,000 lakes. Sherita Booker stirs the pot like this all the time on our social media feeds, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, and more. Sherita, stay out of trouble, and we'll talk to you again next week.
Me too. Bye, Pat.
6:25 now on Up North News Radio. So we're talking about Senate Republican candidate Eric Hovde, and we played a clip last week as he was doing a bit of a TV scrum when he said, I don't want to talk about, you know, the 2020 election. I'm here to talk about 2024. And then he went and rattled off all of the Trump talking points about 2020. And Trump continues to lie about, you know, 2020, including the Wisconsin results. Well, Hovde was on another conservative radio show recently, and the folks over at Heartland Signal, which is a website for WCPT radio out of Chicago, seized on that and put it out on social media. Greg, I know I didn't give you that link till a few seconds ago. Do you have the audio of what Mr. Hovde had to say about nursing homes? Otherwise, I'll just read
it here. Give me 10 seconds. You set it up, and okay. I will... Is it in?
It's in the chat for the show, in the Up North News chat.
Oh, yeah, wrong thing. Technology
is fun. We have so many ways to communicate.
Pat, we're in professional radio. I tell you, I've loaded up right now.
I can't find anything. I don't know if it's in a text message, in a Slack message, in an email. Which Slack thread is it in? So no.
Oh my God! There's honestly, Pat. They've made it so that you can communicate so well that you can't communicate anymore.
Yeah, that's exactly
like, where is that thing? It's in last week's folder. And see, folks, we just did what's called banter in radio while I set that up. And kaboom, it's there for you.
Here's what he had to say.
I'm not going to spend my time talking about 2020. Do I believe the election was stolen? No, but did things happen in that election that were very troublesome? Absolutely. And I can point them out right here in Wisconsin. We had Zuckerbucks come into Democratic cities in a big way to push out, working with cities to push out Democratic votes. We had nursing homes where the sheriff of Racine investigated where you had 100% voting in nursing homes. Well, if you're in a nursing home, you only have 5-6 month life expectancy. Almost nobody in a nursing home is in a point to vote. I'm not going to spend my time talking about 2020.
I'm going to give you all of the points here, and I'm going to tell you, again, his words, well, if you're in a nursing home, you only have a 5-6 month life expectancy. Something that he said similarly last week as well. And it just reminds me of this great line from the 1986 movie Broadcast News after a whole bunch of layoffs. And somehow I feel like this is the conversation between Eric Hovde and nursing home patients.
Now, if there's anything I can do for you, well, I certainly hope you'll die soon.
So we've got that going for us because that, again, is...
Oh, that movie.
Where the man thinks his priority should be. I mean, again, how many demographics are you going to try to take out to make your path to victory that much tougher? You can bring up, you can parrot the 2020 claims all you like about nursing home residents who could vote. And then we could have that discussion of, well, are they really infirmed? Are they really, you know, not in a position to vote? Or is it that some adult children don't agree with how their parents vote and don't wish to encourage it? Whatever the case may be, there's room for discussion, but not if you're going to say, well, you're all going to be dead soon anyway, so, you know, is it really a priority getting you to vote? And that's where we find the leading candidate for U.S. Senate here in Wisconsin. Christina Lori has the uplift up next here up north. It's time for our weekly visit with Christina Lori, who puts together our daily newsletter. You can sign up at our website, upnorthnewswi.com. Christina, how are you this morning?
I'm doing great. How are you, Pat?
Well, very good. I mean, you know, it's spring, and I know it's spring despite the ups and downs of recent weather, you know, because they're playing baseball again. And I think anybody that's heard, you know, the infectious enthusiasm among folks throughout, you know, civic media on the radio or our coverage at Up North News, you know that we are a spirited fan base. And, you know, that's no accident. I think, you know, you've got something that talks about how the Brewers have one of the best fan bases out there.
Yes, FanDuel, that website, they conducted a survey to see which team had the most excitement. They looked at the number of tweets that are about them, their ticket sales, and the Brewers came in top five in the country. And it's pretty amazing because the rest of the top five are all really, I don't want to insult any Brewers fans, but really, really winning clubs. I mean, the Yankees, the Rangers just coming off their World Series win, the Dodgers, the Angels. So that's no surprise. But the Brewers also broke into the top five, which is really exciting. And so I decided to go back. I was trying to like look at the most exciting moments in Brewers history. And I came up with these three things, Pat.
Okay.
So four Brewers have won the league's MVP award. Of course, Robin Yount among them, Christian Yelich, the most recent in 2018. Then there are also three pitchers from the Brewers that have won Cy Young awards, most recently Corbin Burns in 2021, but going all the way back to Raleigh Fingers in 81. Did I say his name correctly?
Of course you did.
Is it Raleigh Fingers?
Yes,
okay.
Absolutely.
I always second guess myself with that one.
Looks That's like okay. I was actually just busy shedding a tear when you said Corbin Burns' name now that he's, you know, off to such a good start with Baltimore. But, you know, that's the business of baseball, so carry on.
It is. And it's always hard to part with players, but that kind of leads to the last exciting thing for the Brewers. I mean, they have so many promising young talent on their roster. Just highlighted opening day in New York, which was already delayed. So that throws into a wrench in plans. It probably screws up the players, you know, game day mentality. You think you're going to play one day, then it's postponed. But their leadoff hitter named Jackson Churio.
Churio, yep.
Yes. He just turned 20 years old. So he broke a record just the second he stepped up to bat as the among one of the youngest players to ever lead off for a team on opening day, and the youngest player in baseball right now too.
Yeah, and he had the bases loaded, and he lined a solid RBI single to collect his first RBI right away. And then, you know, last week I was watching him in the first home series against the Twins. And on the Wednesday afternoon game, he just launched a bomb for his first major league home run. So as down as some of us were at the end of last season with, you know, some departures of veterans, this young talent, yes, holds all kinds of potential. And I think that's what feeds into what makes us a good fan base. A good fan base will reward good decision making by the front office, even if you're not winning all the time. It's just still such a good experience at American Family Field, and not the least of which is that big shiny new scoreboard, which, again, I haven't been to the stadium yet, Christina. The thing scares me. It's so big.
Yes, it is giant. It is massive, and it's one of the things that we got out of from keeping the Brewers here in Wisconsin, that big deal that Evers made earlier this year. They made a bunch of ballpark improvements. Now we have the third largest scoreboard in all of baseball, and it really just, it's massive. Have you, do you have any plans to get to a Brewers game, Pat?
Oh, I undoubtedly will at some point. If nothing else, I have told people that, you know, I will move mountains to get to the Brewers for Yacht Rock Night, because they're giving away, you know, a captain's hat as one would wear for Yacht Rock Night. And I'm looking to see when is that again. I'll have to dig it up here, but that's in July. But I'm really hoping to get there before July 26th. And again, take a look at that scoreboard and everything that makes, you know, a Brewers game a full experience.
And the top two scoreboards aren't too far away. The second largest is over at Progressive Field in Cleveland. So I actually do think the Brewers play the Guardians this year, because they play the White Sox. You know how they play a different division every year.
Sure.
So fans can have a chance to check out that scoreboard. And then they just played at the field with the biggest scoreboard. That was Citi Field in New York. And the square footage is wild, because the Brewers' new scoreboard is about 12,000 square feet. Citi Field's is double that, 24,000.
Oh, my gosh.
So it's massive. It's kind of like the one that you see in football at Patriots games, where it's like the whole wall.
Oh, gosh. Or you know, SoFi in Southern California, and of course, where the Dallas Cowboys play, in Texas as well. The bad news is, if you want to go see the scoreboard in Cleveland, you're going to have to do it on your own, because the Brewers' only series with Cleveland is a home series, so they are not traveling out there this year. But again, we've got something pretty close with again, 12,000 square feet, this just monster thing, which, by the way, one of the first images on there for the home opener last week when the Twins were in town, they introduced all the lineup, you know, all the new players, all the veterans, but it wasn't until they showed Mr. Baseball on that massive screen that the crowd went wild for good reason.
Yes, I thought you were going to segue into this by saying that you won't want to go to a road game anyway, because Bob Uecker, legendary Brewers announcer, he's only going to be appearing at home games. He's 90 years old. That's as much of an excuse as you need. Hats off to him for still working. He was in the booth on opening day at AmFam Field, and his schedule for the rest of the season is still TBD. The Brewers president, Rick Schlesinger, he said that, you know, they're going to follow Bob's lead, and they're going to take him when he can call the games. But Bob said he wants to be in as many as possible. He's been the voice of the Brewers, of course, since 1971. And he's just going to take things one game at a time. But it's really, I mentioned before how I grew up as a Sox fan, and we had our own announcer that was very well known. But he retired well before 90, of course, Hawk Harrelson. But during the end of his calling career, he actually decided he only wanted to do road games, because it was so hard, like, to get to Sox Park through the traffic of Chicago. So it was just more convenient to
travel to other cities than deal with Chicago traffic. That's funny.
That's Chicago in a nutshell for you. But it's such a win for fans to get to hear Bob Uecker at the games. We posted something on Up North's Facebook page just saying, you know, Bob is back with a few throwback photos. And it reached an insane amount of people. It got so many reactions.
Oh, my goodness. Well, yeah, I
mean, Wisconsin loves Bob.
This is his 54th season of calling Brewers games. And people, I think, really now have this appreciation, which already existed, but is deeper now, an appreciation on par with what Dodger fans had with Vin Scully for all of those years. And, you know, in both cases, these teams, they just wanted to will, you know, a World Series victory so that, you know, these longtime announcers can see them. But I know Uke would be the first to tell you, win or lose, he just enjoys being at the game. And where we started, the fan base. It's a good fan base because the base of the announcers is so good. From Uke on down through Brian Anderson on TV, you know, Jeff Levering when the BA can't call those games that day. The Rock is in the booth, Bill Schroeder. It's just quality coverage top to bottom makes the team makes the fans, you know, want to stay involved with the team.
And they announcers can... like Bob are in an interesting situation because also being a former player, mm-hmm. you know, he was inducted into the Baseball Hall of Fame as an announcer. If I had a question to ask him, I'd want to know, like, is like, what's the biggest honor? Because to us, like, I mean, we work as broadcasters. I think being in for a broadcaster would almost be more commendable because it's like your whole lifetime of work rather than just a decade.
It was he received the Ford Frick Award being inducted into the Hall of Fame, and I'm quickly trying to remember what year it was. I think it was 2003, and his Hall of Fame speech is still by leaps and bounds the funniest one that has ever been given. He had the crowd in stitches. Again, not a surprise for those of us who know him well from the whole Mr. Baseball routine, all those appearances with Johnny Carson. And I know a lot of folks now are too young to remember that, but I'm telling you, either go back YouTube the Bob Uecker Hall of Fame speech or go back and catch his appearances with Johnny Carson, and you understand the base from which this legend grows and how lucky we are to have him.
Yeah, and some people, if they're listening to this and like Bob Uecker, the name doesn't ring a bell, you'll probably recognize his face because he popped up in like dozens and dozens of commercials throughout the years too. So, you know.
And has two statues at American Family Field, a typical one on the outside, and then the one way up in the cheap seats, you know, because of his old Miller Lite beer commercials, and that classic line when he gets lifted out of his original seats and he says, "Oh, I must be in the front row." And of course not. He was up in the nosebleed seats, and there's a great statue of him up there. Now, what about you? Are you going to get to either a Sox game or maybe even a Sox fan goes to Wrigley Field, or any plans to go to American Family Field? Where are you on summertime sports attendance?
Well, so I'm actually going to hit kind of all in one. So the Sox play at, I always want to say Miller Park, at AmFam Field this summer. And my family, we always try to go to like one road game a season. So last year was all the way out in Seattle. We went to go see them face the Mariners. But this year it's going to be close to home. We're going to go to see them play the Brewers. I think it's in June. I'm not exactly positive.
Once again, he consults his handy dandy paper schedule, which I get a lot of grief over. But guess what, folks? It's still working. I still got it here. The White Sox first come to town on May 31st, June 1st and 2nd is their series at American Family Field. So,
and something I'm really looking forward to at the ballpark is, of course, I mean, I am there for the sports, but already by June, the Sox, I'm bracing myself for how many games out of it they're going to be. So I need to have like some sort of distraction. Mm-hmm. So I've already mapped out what kind of new foods I want to try. And the Brewers have something awesome that debuted new this year. Well, first overall, I just love how they prioritize local food at their ballpark. They always have. They have a ton of local vendors. They have all the staples. It's great, you know, to attract people to the city. But they're opening an offset of the Third Street Market Hall the outfield. So they're going to have the same vendors that are there, and they're going to be selling their stuff. So there's like tacos, there's slices of pizza, beer, of course, but it's just a great way to showcase the city's best small businesses in the ballpark.
That really is nice. And by the way, you're going to like this. We're talking about young talent. If you happen to go to that opening game in the Brewers White Sox series on the 31st, on the theme nights and the giveaways and all that, for May 31st, for that Friday, it says Happy Days, Bobblehead TBA. So we don't know if it involves one of the young players or if it involves somebody from maybe the show Happy Days. Are they going to make a Fonzie bobblehead? I don't know. But if that's the game that you're going to, keep tuned for some kind of a bobblehead that we're going to expect you to bring back and show off to us.
Okay, I will.
Christina Laurie with stories about Brewers and so much more in our daily newsletter. Sign up at our website, upnorthnewswi.com. Thanks, Christina. Have a great day.
You as well.
And I'm so glad I was able to have this paper schedule handy here, Mr. Bach.
I have a commentary very quickly I'll make about your paper schedule.
Yes, sir.
Nobody has a problem that you have a paper schedule. You shake it in the air at us like we're going to be like, so weird. Not a single person has made a comment about your paper schedule. I think you want people to have a problem with the paper schedule, so we call you an old man, and you can be like, that's right, I have a paper schedule. I also remember when the paper came out 3 times a day.
No, actually, somebody did snicker or snort with derision when I brought it out.
Who are they? I'll end them.
But in classic old man style, I don't remember who it was anymore. I just remember I took it personally. Like, why? Don't laugh at my paper schedule. I like it.
Yeah,
I have two of them. One on my bulletin board and one right here, so they don't have to run to the bulletin board every time.
I'll get you a third one for the car just in case.
Oh, no. I've got to keep my eyes on the road, my hands at 10 and 2 on the wheel, and Siri can take care of that for me. So we're going to have this day in history, a little history lesson and musical memories next. You're up north. Seemed impossible. Naturally, this is the Righteous Brothers. How can I live through this? When you're all I wake up for each day, baby. You're my soul and my heart in the rain. Righteous Brothers had the number one song this day in 1966. Some would say You're My Soul and Inspiration is a clone of their previous hit, You've Lost That Love and Feeling. Maybe, but that wouldn't be the first time that's happened in the early days of rock and roll. Like, that song was a hit. The twist? Now it's going to be the peppermint twist.
Yeah.
And let's twist again like last summer. So, yeah, but it worked for the Righteous Brothers. Good for them. The number one song this day in 1977 was the seventh top 40 hit for ABBA.
Anyone over a certain age is having wedding trauma right now. Like, oh, God.
Or they think, oh, good, they're playing Mamma Mia. I'd like to watch this movie for the 114th time.
All right, well.
Here was their first number one in the States. Although I have to admit, and it's not just because my wife and daughters have seen Mamma Mia, the movie with Meryl Streep and Pierce Brosnan. They've seen it, I mean, literally dozens of times. I like it.
Yeah.
It's good.
There you go.
The unfortunate part is that they allow Pierce Brosnan to try to sing. And it's just like, oh, no. You just stand there and look good. Please, don't try.
Wouldn't it be worse, though, if he could sing? Don't you hate it when you're like, oh, you're attractive and a good actor and they're funny and they can sing? Ugh. Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, so I'm glad the guy's got one weakness. I've got something there. Two different wars ended on this day in history in 1784. The Treaty of Paris, which had already been ratified by the U.S. Congress, was ratified by King George III, bringing a formal end to the American Revolutionary War this day in 1784. And on this day in 1865, Robert E. Lee surrendered to Ulysses S. Grant at the Appomattox Courthouse in Virginia, effectively ending the Civil War. The number one song this day, let's see, we did 66, we did 77, let's do 88. The number one song this day in 1988 was by Billy Ocean. Oh.
I It doesn't get much more 80s than this sound.
Oh, no. Absolutely. And so, to no surprise, it was co-written by 80s super producer Mutt Lange, along with Billy Ocean.
Yeah.
It was the last of Billy Ocean's three number ones in the U.S., following Caribbean Queen and There'll Be Sad Songs to Make You Cry.
Could you imagine if Billy Ocean and Michael McDonald made a song together?
Indistinguishable. Oh, that would have been cool. Yes. Yes. I would listen to that.
Me too.
Yeah. Let's see. On this day 3 years ago, Earl Simmons died. You know him better as the rapper DMX.
Yeah, man, y'all gonna make me lose my mind. Up in here, up in here. Y'all gonna make me go all out.
DMX had a colorful life and suffered a massive heart attack at the age of 50 on this day in 2021. And I was telling Greg before the show that in looking for the clean version of the song to play on the radio, and how my first grandson was like 5 or 6 at the time. And I don't know where he heard the song, but he was in love with the chorus. He was singing the chorus over and over again. And I'm just thinking, where did he hear that? And did he just hear the chorus? Or he didn't hear the verses, did he?
Y'all gonna make me lose my mind up in here. Oh my God.
It was adorable to listen to this little boy singing the chorus, but just the chorus. Here's some cool things about, I love rock and roll writing, music critics when they're great writers. I think I've told you that. And John Perellis of the New York Times, I hope I'm saying that correctly. John Perellis wrote of DMX after a concert performance in 2000. Quote, his throat seems to hold a fuzz box and a foghorn, and between songs he growled and barked. And John Perellis has some other cool things to say about our next entry on here, and that would be Carl Perkins, who was born this day in 1932.
Well, it's one for the money, two for the show, three to get ready. Now go, cat, go, but don't you.
This was Carl Perkins wrote this originally before Elvis then took it. Again, from John Perellis in the New York Times when Carl Perkins passed away in 1998. Mr. Perkins was part of the Sun Records roster that fused blues, country, rhythm and blues, gospel, and teenage attitudes into rockabilly, one of the cornerstones of rock and roll. The son of a sharecropper, at age 6, he began working in the fields, where he heard gospel songs at night. His father had country music on the radio. Later, working in Memphis alongside Elvis, Jerry Lee Lewis, and Johnny Cash, Mr. Perkins made music that swaggered with a casual authority, never far removed from his roots in the rural South. Again, Carl Perkins, born this day in 1832. And one more, Curly Lambeau of, that place called Lambeau Field, born this day in 1898 and passed away in 1965.
Nice.
When you read up on some of these folks, like Carl Perkins, I'm like, okay, I know he wrote Blue Suede Shoes. And I'm like, I don't know if I can come up with other songs by him. And that's when you learn to appreciate that he wrote a lot. And he had a style. The guitar style is what was admired. He'd worked with fans that included Bob Dylan, Eric Clapton, Tom Petty, John Fogerty, Roy Orbison. Very much a celebrated figure in rock and roll history.
There's like, those guitar players who came up in the 60s and the 70s, they worshipped him. Worshipped him.
Mm-hmm.
Carl Perkins and Chet Atkins. Without those two, I don't know if we would have gotten the George Harrison we got in the Beatles.
I completely agree. Yeah. Today is Winston Churchill Day in the U.S. It marks the day when President John F. Kennedy, on April 9th, 1963, signed into law a bill making Winston Churchill an honorary citizen of the United States for all that he did to help win the Second World War. It is International Be Kind to Lawyers Day. So I guess we got to get Jim Santel and Maggie Dawn on the phone and say nice things to them.
You're great. Click.
You're great, click.
Bill's in the mail.
It's a National Gin and Tonic Day.
Ooh, okay.
For people that like to drink a glass of pine needles. It's National Unicorn Day.
I'll tell my wife that. She loves unicorns.
Oh, really?
Loves them.
Oh. So would we find a lot of them around your home, like figurines?
No, we generally, it's like a lot, like there'll be t-shirts and hoodies. We keep it real tasteful. It's not like we're not a 9-year-old girl's bedroom.
And today is also International ASMR Day.
Yes, welcome to the show today. We're going to be talking about ASMR.
apparently is something about audio that makes your skin tingle.
Makes your skin tingle. So tingles.
I can just tell right now the station computers are going, are we off the air right now?
Civic Media brings you ASMR today.
It's just, I can't do it. Coming up in our next hour, a one-on-one interview with Senator Tammy Baldwin, running for a third term and telling us a bit about the background of her life. That's coming up and much more in our 7 o'clock hour, live from Lake Wissota on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Do anything that you want to do, but honey, lay up.